Welcome to the Jack Del Rio Show.
Jack Del Rio Show.
Your one-hour conversation with the head coach of the Jacksonville Jaguars.
You're going to be tested. There's going to be adversity. How you persevere says a lot about what you're going to be as a team.
The Jack Del Rio Show is brought to you by Prudential Network Realty, the Jacksonville Transportation Group, Wachovia, a Wells Fargo company, Ticket Exchange, and Community First Credit Union. To talk to the coach, dial 355-NFL-1. That's 355-6351. Or from outside the Jacksonville calling area, dial 1-800-355-NFL-1. Now, to get things started, here's the voice of the Jaguars.
The voice.
Brian Sexton.
Good evening and welcome inside WOKV Jaguar Central for the Jack Del Rio Show. And fans, this reminder as we get started that nobody, but nobody helps you get ready for game day better than the folks at Gate. Snacks, food, drinks, and more, you know, stop by Gate today. Good evening. Brian Sexton with you. The head coach will be in just a moment. 355-NFL-1, 355-6351. We'll have the coach for two segments and then a special appearance by Jaguars defensive coordinator Mel Tucker for the remainder of the show. So get your thoughts ready with the Jaguars coming off a strong performance, the switch to the 4-3 defense. You know how it goes. 355-NFL-1, 355-6351. Jaguars-Jets Sunday from New York. That's a 1 o'clock kickoff. It means for those of you listening here in Jacksonville, we'll kick things off at 10 o'clock in the morning with the tailgate show, followed by the network pregame hour at noon Eastern time, whistle-to-whistle coverage of the Jaguars and Jets, then the Winn-Dixie postgame show, and the Bank of America scoreboard show. 355-NFL-1, and the coaches just walked in. Give him just a sec to sit down and take a couple of thoughts. And there he is. Hello, Coach. How are you tonight?
Good.
How are you
tonight?
I'm doing good. Nice to see you. Football team comes back tomorrow. 4-4 at the bye week. I know by now not to ask you if you like that or you don't like that, but just an observation that as you head into the second half of the season, you've got the potential for some really meaningful games in front of you. And with as many young players as you've got on that roster, that's important. Hold on, Joe may have made a mistake. I don't think it happens very often.
Right.
Okay. There you go.
That's why I couldn't hear it. Okay. Yes.
So some meaningful games, and obviously the Jets game on Sunday is one of those.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, it's the NFL. We've stayed afloat. I mean, we're sitting here, we're at 4-4. Would we like better? Yes, absolutely. But right now, this is what we've earned, and we have an opportunity in the second half of the season to, like you said, play meaningful games. We're against the Jets this weekend. They're 4-4 as well. They started red hot, 3-0, and now they're 4-4, and they've got a good football team. And you know, watching them on tape, there's some definite challenges in front of us, and we're getting geared up, getting our plan together, and looking forward to that confrontation.
I want to ask you about some of those players, but first, as you go to the second half of the season at 4-4, the thing that stands out the most to me is the number of those young players that you've been grooming all the way through who are now impactful for you. And, I mean, we know about Derek Cox and Terrence Knight, and they just seem to get better and better. But Jarrett Dillard, second game in a row with a huge third down conversion. Mike Thomas with another 40-yard return, this time on a punt. I mean, it seems the more you ask of these young players, the more they're giving you.
Yeah, and we're counting on it. I mean, because we've had tremendous turnover. You know, I had one of my staff members just look at the change between the last time we were in the playoffs against the Patriots and look at the turnover of where we are right now. I think we have like 20 guys left, like 45 out of the 65 guys, counting IR and everything,
sure,
are gone. I mean, it's been a huge turnover. So we're counting on some young guys, and the young guys are getting better, and that's the exciting part for me, for the coaches, for the football team, for the players that are here every day working, is they can see the young guys developing.
Right.
And so now, you know, you start to, as a football team, you start to feel that, you know, that you get a little bit of confidence that, hey, together we are capable of doing something. And I think the biggest thing for us right now is to sustain it, you know, to be able to, you know, we've been able to put it together and then take a step backwards, and then put it together and take a step backwards. And right now, we're looking to surge here in the second half, and it starts with a big opportunity in New York.
You know, there's at least one of those rookies that really, when you watch him play, doesn't look anything like a rookie, and that's Terrence Knight. And we've talked about him
a lot.
Can't get away from that, can he? I will tell you, though, his performance on Sunday, and even against the Titans, in which was not a win, obviously, the last 2 weeks, he and John Henderson have been monsters.
Yeah, they have.
Inside.
No, I think you know, Big John has a playmate. You know, Big Terrence is a big, massive man. It's hard to move. And I'll tell you, the other guys that are playing pretty well in their roles now are the other backup tackles. I mean, you know, Montavious Stanley's played well for us.
He fought fast last week, too.
And so is T. Ellison. And so, you know, Tia started a bunch in the 3-4s and end force, and they're doing a nice job. And, you know, Derek Landry's in the wings, and he can still, you know, bring it for us. And so, no, there's and Greg Peterson is a guy that we brought, you know, we brought in recently that's shown some promise in practice. So it's been a good group, and certainly led by Big John and Terrence Knighton.
All right, we need a break. We'll take it now. We've got another segment or two with the head coach, and again, towards the bottom of the hour, Mel Tucker, the Jaguars defensive coordinator, will come on board. We'll take your calls for the head coach when we return to the Jack Del Rio Show on the WOKV Jaguars Radio Network.
To talk to Coach Del Rio, dial 355-NFL1 or 1-800-355-NFL1. Now, back to the show. Here's Brian Sexton.
Welcome back to the Jack Del Rio Show. Phone lines are lit up. You can join us, 355-NFL1. And this portion of the Jack Del Rio Show is brought to you by Best Buy. Remember, stop by the brand new Best Buy over in the St. John's Town Center. Let's go right to the phone lines and head down the road to Orlando, where Brian's standing by. Brian, good evening. Welcome to the Jack Del Rio Show. How are you tonight?
I'm doing good. Hey, thanks for taking my call.
Happy to do it.
Hey, Coach, a question. Maurice is a great player. We all know that. Is it my perception that when you guys kind of get out of your game plan a little bit, then his role kind of takes a different a slant? And is there something that you can do to maybe keep him more involved, even if you do get behind or do have to throw the ball a little bit more? I mean, it just seems like sometimes he gets lost when he's probably your best player out there. Do you agree?
Yeah, Brian. Thanks for the call. Appreciate it. He absolutely is central in everything we're doing. He's a great running back with the ball in his hands. He's a great teammate in terms of the way he'll hustle without the ball in his hands, the way he'll block, and he is definitely a guy that can catch the ball as well. So, no, he remains very much in our plans. I think you know, there are times when the opponent just determines that they don't want him to impact the game the way he can, and they're going to commit two guys to him and just try and take him, you know, out of the mix that way. And other than handing him the ball, you know, they can do that, or handing him the ball with bad number counts, they can do that a little bit. So there are times when you just have to be stubborn and say, he's such a great player, we're going to give him the ball. And we have done that throughout the years. We'll continue to do that because we can't let somebody just outnumber us or take him completely out of the game of their doing. We've got to make sure that, you know, we do all we can to get him involved regardless of how it goes. So that's a great point, Brian.
And sometimes he just needs a helping hand like Vinny Monowai throwing him into the end zone the other day.
Yeah.
What a great run. And it wasn't until I saw the end zone copy of that on All Access last night that I realized how central Vinny was to getting the last little shove over the line.
No doubt Vinny was powerful knocking the guy out of the way and then throwing Maurice into the end zone. But, you know, Brian brings up a good point. I mean, one of the things that we want to have offensively is rhythm. And if you fall behind, that's one of the things you can lose is in your effort to play catch-up. You're looking to get chunks of yards and throw the ball down the field. You can lose your rhythm with a running back in particular. It can happen. And it's certainly something we guard against and want to keep from happening because he's so valuable.
Just a quick number for everyone listening out there, going through the news, the press guide here today. Maurice Drew has been here since the start of the 2006 season. So this is midway through his fourth season. You realize he has 51 touchdowns. 51, the team record 70 that Fred had in 11 seasons here. So just to put it all in perspective for people out there, 51 touchdowns in 55 games. Yeah, I'd say he's central to exactly what you want to get done.
I think that says a lot.
Yep, 11 touchdowns on the year, leads the National Football League. Let's grab Craig down south in Sydney, Australia. Hello, Craig, how are you?
Hey, boys, how are we?
Good. What's on your mind?
And I just want to say how impressed I've been with the rookies. I don't want to single anybody out, but and all the rookies this year have been, especially lately, been playing really big. And even Mike Sims Walker, he's just playing out of his skin at the moment.
Craig, calling from Sydney, Australia. I really appreciate that. Yeah, you're right. We've had some young guys, and I don't know if you're aware of Terrence Knighton's nickname, Pot Roast, but. But you know, that's the moniker we learned about last week that his teammates have kind of fondly called him. And I don't want to let go of that. How can he let go of Pot Roast? I mean, it's pretty good stuff. But he's playing well for us, and Mike Thomas is playing well, and obviously Mike Sims-Walker, who is almost like a rookie because, you know, the first 2 years that we had him, we really didn't get him for a full year. And this is the first time that we've had him this healthy through the first 8 games of the season, and looking forward to bigger and better things throughout the second part of the season.
Sorry, my head's full of numbers today, but it's 147 yards on Sunday,
yeah.
The most by a Jaguars wide receiver since Jimmy Smith had 147 in December of 2000. I mean, that puts in perspective where he is taking your downfield passing attack.
Yeah, it's. I know that he's a guy that David has a lot of confidence in, and you know, with big, strong hands and the dependability in the passing game for a quarterback. You know, a big target like that can run, that has great hands, obviously is very friendly for a quarterback.
Appreciate the phone call. Let's stay with the receivers and go over to Green Cove Springs where Joe is standing by. Joe, you're on with the head coach. Good evening.
Hey, good evening, guys. How you doing?
Hey, Joe. Good.
Hey, Coach, how important do you think the acquisition of a veteran like Torrey Holt, who's basically a coach on the field, is brought to the table, his skills to help our young receiving group develop?
Well, Joe, I think Torrey's been a great addition for us. I think, you know, really to see the way he works has been a great example for our younger players. I don't know that we've had that in terms of a worker that's such a great professional in everything he does and the way he approaches his training, his preparation for practice, his work after practice is over. You go back in, he's in the weight room stretching. He's on the bike getting extra cardio work. I mean, it's nonstop in terms of the way he approaches his trade. And I think that example's been great, not only for the wide receiver corps, but I think for the whole football team.
Appreciate the phone call. This voice may sound familiar to you. It's Greg from the West Side. Greg spent the day at the stadium on you.
Yeah, Coach. I saw Greg on the sideline. What's going on, Greg? How you doing?
How you doing, Coach?
Good, good.
Hey, how about them Jaguars?
That's right. That's right. You got to get down there with everybody on the sideline and get the look in the eye and see the intensity out there. What'd you think? At least talk about the first 56 minutes. How'd you like that look in the eye?
I cannot tell you. Words can't describe how cool that experience was, and it was really a phenomenal day just to watch and see how fired up we were. And Reggie Nelson was just he was a beast. He was a man to be reckoned with.
Yeah, he played very well.
That was an awesome experience. And I can't thank you enough for that. I have one question for you tonight.
Okay.
On the special teams play at the end of the game, or the onside kick, what is the standard? I mean, do y'all have a game plan for handling that? Because they mentioned that you can, on any kickoff like that, actually call for a fair catch. And I was wondering why on onside kicks like that, you don't see that employed more often to prevent, mishandled kicks, you know, and such. And I'll tell you my answer off there.
Okay.
Thanks again for the great trip.
Okay, Greg. All right, it was great having him out there. For those that are listening right now that don't know, Greg called in last week and talked about our need for some of the intensity that we've had in the past here on defense, and the fact that we need to get that back. And I couldn't agree more. And you get to hear from Coach Tucker a little bit later about some of that. But we stressed that all week. The guys brought it on Sunday, and we feel like this is, you know, where we're going to, you know, step from here and go forward. And that was just one step in the right direction. But in terms of that at the end, I think the announcers may have made a mistake. If the ball comes off the kicker's foot and hits the ground and then pops up, you have to feel the ball. It's a live ball. So that's why an onside kick, they pound it into the ground, and then it pops up. And there is no fair catch.
I'd never heard that before.
There is no fair catch protection on that. Now, if a ball is popped up and does not hit the ground first, then you absolutely do have the right to fair catch it. So I think maybe that whoever, you know, Greg was hearing.
Bill McAtee.
I think they were misinformed or maybe just made a mistake there. But that's the way that works, and that's why people do the onsides the way they do. They beat it into the ground, let it pop up, and then run it out and try and murder you before you can catch the ball. And that's the way it works.
Appreciate the phone call. I know you've got to go, Coach. We certainly appreciate it. Thanks for inviting Coach Tucker in.
Coach Tucker will handle it from here.
All right. We got it.
Have a great night.
You too. Thanks for your time. We'll take a break. Come back with defensive coordinator Mel Tucker with us here on the Jack Del Rio Show after this quick timeout on Jaguars Radio.
to talk to Coach Del Rio, dial 355-NFL1 or 1-800-355-NFL1. Now, back to the show. Here's Brian Sexton.
Welcome back to the Jack Del Rio Show. Jaguars fans, you can vote for your favorite teacher to be the Community First Credit Union Teacher of the Week. Your teacher would win club seats to a Jaguars home game. All part of First Down Touchdown Teachers. Visit CommunityFirstFL.org for all the details. And we're very pleased now to have, for the very first time on the Jack Del Rio Show, Defensive Coordinator Mel Tucker. Coach, how are you?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm good. Tuesday's a busy night for you guys, isn't it?
Yeah, it gets pretty busy. We spend a great bit of Monday night on the initial game planning, and then we come in early Tuesday and get working on the first and second down stuff, and then on Tuesday night we finish up with the short yard and goal line. So we've been at it all day, and we look forward to it. It's a new opportunity for us, another week.
All right, dispel the myth now, all right? When you came down here, they said Mel Tucker's a 3-4 guy. Right. Jack Del Rio's a 4-3 guy. You started with a little 4-3-3-4 mix, then injuries, you go to 3-4. What is your background? What is your defensive philosophy? Do you categorize yourself as that?
No, I'm a football coach. I spent most of my coaching career in a 4-3 scheme. I spent I played a 4-3 in college, and then with Nick Saban, I spent 3 years with him. We were 4-3. A year at Miami of Ohio, where I was 4-3, and 4 years at Ohio State, I was 4-3, and I came to the NFL and with Romeo Crennel, and we were 3-4. And I did that for 4 years, and so I feel confident with either 4-3 or 3-4, whatever suits the players the best, and whatever we can do to win, is I'm all for that.
Is it clear what suits your players best? I mean, you played well last week in the move back to the 3-4. You'd stop the run in the 3-4 at 99 right. yards a game,
right.
and then had that one game with 305. Can you tell what your personnel is right now?
Well, it seems like these guys responded well to the 4-3. The thing that we wanted to do, we wanted to generate some more pass rush. Again, in the 3-4, we were doing a nice job stopping the run. The problems that we had in the run game were tackling issues more than any type of scheme or things like that. But we weren't getting enough pressure on the quarterback. We didn't have the number of pressures and sacks that we would want to see at this point. So we decided to see, what we could do to get more pressure and get more speed on the field and things like that. And so with the 4-3 scheme, we were comfortable going back to that, and the players accepted it. We worked hard at it during the week, and then we rolled it out there, and guys, again, they flew around. They were excited about it. Played hard. Our tackling was much improved. We were able to get some pressure on the quarterback, and we made some improvements.
This week, you get a challenge with Thomas Jones. He's an over 30 guy. He's been around, bounced around with a couple of different teams. But before the bye week, he led the NFL in rushing, and I think he's still, I think, eighth with the 700 rushing yards, had a big run against Buffalo. What do you see from him?
He's an excellent back. The first thing that he does is he brings toughness to the table. And he is a guy that he is not looking to make a cut until he gets past the linebacker. So he's a guy that's going to hit the hole. Their offensive line is probably the best line that we're going to face all year. And they come off the ball. They do a good job with combo blocking. They get up on the second level, and all they're trying to do is give him a crease. And he gets the ball, and he hits it, and he's out the gate. So it's a tremendous tremendous challenge for us. The thing we have to do with him is we have to set the edge of the defense and build a wall up front. Don't allow any seams inside, and we have to do a great job of tackling.
You know, when you think about Thomas Jones, we're not talking about a big, tall guy. In fact, we're talking about a compact, powerfully built guy like Maurice Drew. Your defense, having the opportunity to practice against Maurice Drew every day in practice, how much does that help them as they get ready to face the better backs in the NFL?
Well, it's huge when you get a chance to practice against great players. And we get a great look every week with David and the core receivers, and Maurice and our line. Get a chance to go against those guys. They do a great job. And so hopefully what we can do is we can set a tempo in practice that will prepare us for games and make it where when we get into the games, we feel like we've been well prepared. We go out there and play fast.
I can throw stat after stat after stat out there, Coach. What's the one that matters most to defensive coordinators in this day and age of the NFL?
The most important stat is points allowed. I really think that's the bottom line. You have to be hard to score on. You have to play great defense in the red zone, hold people to field goal attempts, And really, that's the bottom line in this league. If you can hold people to a low number, you got a better chance of winning.
It's just when you look at the stat sheet, and I was doing it earlier as I was getting ready for it, you're 22nd against the run. You're taking on a Jets team that happens to be 14th, right? The difference between 14 and 22 is about 8 yards per game. So the numbers can really get skewed if you focus too much, even sacks. I mean, it's not about bringing the guy to the ground every time as much as it is just pressure, correct?
Well, you know, the thing is with the numbers, you know, every week is a new week. And I think it's important to focus on what do you have to do to get better. You have to identify your weaknesses, ensure those things up, and then say, okay, what areas are we strong in, and continue to build on those things and get those things right. And then the stats will be what they are at the end of the day. You have to add them up. And every week you have a new challenge. You have a new offense, different types of preparation. And it's always focus on the next game. Focus on the next opponent. What do we have to do to stop these guys and hold these guys to a low number? Now, again, when you talk about sacks and pressures, you know, you like to get them both. You like to be able to get pressure on the quarterback. You get batted balls, push the pocket, force, you know, hurry throws, errant throws, and you want to get the guy on the ground when you get opportunities. Last week, we were able to do that. We got much better at getting around the quarterback and finishing on the quarterback. And so, you know, those are things that we can build on moving forward. Our stats are not where we want them to be, but at the same time, our focus has to be on the next opponent.
Next opponent is the New York Jets rookie quarterback, Mark Sanchez. Now, you don't strike me as a guy who salivates a whole lot, but as a defensive coordinator, do you like your chops a little bit at a rookie quarterback? I mean, even a guy like Sanchez that was a top pick?
Well, you know, Sanchez is a very talented player. He does a nice job of running their offense. He's very, very capable of making all the throws. They have a check with me package. He handles that well. And he plays good football when he doesn't turn it over. And that's when they've struggled, when he's throwing interceptions. They want to play ball control, field position football. They want to play great defense and do a great job on special teams. And so with him, obviously, you know, we're going to study him very hard, see if he has any habits that we can take advantage of, and then try to exploit those things on Sunday. But he's a very capable player. Every team in the league has firepower. And every quarterback that you put out there, that they put out there, you have to respect them because they can't hurt you if you're not on top of your game.
Does a quarterback's tendencies, do they expose themselves in just 8 pro games? I mean, can you get a book of habits and things that he likes to do, tendencies, so quickly in his career?
Yeah, you can get a pretty good idea of the quarterback's reads, his comfort level, things that he likes to see, things that he looks that he doesn't like to see. If he stares down receivers, if he stays, if he holds the ball too long, things like that, how different disguises affect him in terms of his reads and things like that. You know, you can. The more games you have on a guy, the more you know about a guy.
Sure. Let's take a break, folks. When we come back, we'll talk with Coach Mel Tucker more. You can join in the conversation as well. 355-NFL-1, 800-355-6351. You're listening to the Jack Del Rio Show on the WOKV Jaguars Radio Network.
To talk to Coach Del Rio, dial 355-NFL-1 or 1-800-355-NFL-1. Now, back to the show. Here's Brian Sexton.
Welcome back to the Jack Del Rio Show. We are delighted to have Mel Tucker, the Jaguars defensive coordinator, with us for a while. Coach, let's talk about some of your individual guys. And we were talking about pass rush, and that's really been the story with the defense for most of the year. Yeah. So let me ask you about Derek Harvey. People, and you weren't here when they drafted him 8th overall, and everyone still sticks it to him. He was drafted 8th, $17 million guaranteed dollars. Where are the sacks? Give us an analysis of where he is midway through his second season.
Derek's done a nice job for us this year. What he's done is he's been very, very solid in the run game. I mean, there's not a tight end that we play that can block him. People have a hard time running to his side. And he's done a real nice job in the different positions we played him. He's been very, very unselfish. We played him an outside backer. We played him inside as a defensive end in a 3-4. We played him inside as a defensive tackle at times in a pass rush situation. So he's moved around. He's very diligent at studying the opponent and understanding what he needs to do when he goes out there and he plays hard. Now, in terms of his pass rush, I think that he's improving in that area. He's a guy that can definitely get pushed in the pocket. He's extremely strong. He's physical against tackles, obviously against tight ends. He can get push in the pocket. And then he's also starting to develop some edge rush. And what he's got to do with the edge rush is he's got to finish at the top of the rush. He can get off the ball. He can get back there. Now, once he gets to the top of the rush, just finishing on the quarterback, those are things that he's working on. I see improvement from Derek from an overall standpoint, just as an overall football player. He's a young guy. He just turned 23 yesterday, and I think he's got tremendous upside.
How about some of the other guys that you got rushing the passer? We were talking during the break about a kid that most people don't focus on, but number 90, Julius Williams, undrafted out of UConn. We talked a lot about him in training camp. How is he developing for you?
He's done a nice job. He showed up Sunday for us. He ran around the edge and ran the quarterback down. It wasn't a sack, but he helped us get off the field on third down. He's got tremendous power. I mean, this guy has a body like a Greek god. I mean, he comes off the ball. He can rush tackles. He can power rush. He's got some speed rush. He's a young guy. You know, he doesn't have the experience, but he's gaining it, and he's getting better and better every week. We see strides with him in practice. He studies tape. He's a guy. He's a gym rat. You got to kick him out of here and tell him to go home and get some rest. He's just very, very excited about being here. He understands the opportunity that he has, and he wants to be a great football player. So he's a guy that is also on the rise, and I expect him to get better, and he's earned playing time. So he's obviously
getting better on the practice field.
Yeah, he's getting better on the practice field, and he's a guy that we like to see more of in games.
As you look at a guy like that, you're thinking long term also, right? I mean, what he can be, and he's got a different body style. I mean, I don't want to make the comparison because it's not fair. Dwight Freeney's one of the best pass rushers this game has seen. But, boy, he sure has that low, squat, powerful, you know, close-to-the-ground kind of body style. Does he watch tape of guys like that?
Yeah, he told me he watches all of Freeney's tape, and that's important to him, to study other guys and see how they get to the quarterback and develop some pass rush moves and develop a plan. And he's doing all those things. I mean, he does have a tremendous body. He has a low center of gravity. He's got a nice combination of speed, quickness, and power. And he's a guy that, like I said, on Sunday he gave us some plays. He gave us some production. So it's not just what he can do in the future, but he also can help us now.
He may have been the best player the last couple of weeks. He may be the best player on the defense. I don't know whether you want to go that far, but Darryl Smith, he's so often overlooked in this game, whether it's small market Jacksonville or just quiet, small town Darryl from Albany, Georgia. Boy, does he play big.
Darryl, he's tremendous. First of all, he's a great person. He's a high character guy. He does things right all the time. He's one of those guys that's going to do it right even if no one's watching. And those are the types of guys that you want as leaders on your team. He's a leader for us in the meeting room. He's a leader on the field. He doesn't say a lot, but when he does speak, people listen, and that's players and coaches. On the field, he's very productive. And the one thing that you need to have, and one thing that we're striving for defensively is consistency. And he consistently performs, produces at a relatively high level. And he's a guy that in pass coverage, in zone coverage, he does a nice job. He breaks on the ball. He can finish in space and man coverage. He's got good eye control. He can cover tight ends. He can cover backs. In the run game, he's solid in the run game. He'll stuff the run. He can take on guards. He can take on fullbacks and finish on the ball. And we've also used him as a pass rusher, as a blitzer, and also as a defensive end, just lined up in pass rush situations. And he showed that he can get pressure on the quarterback that way. And so he's a very versatile player. And yeah, he may be overlooked, maybe nationally, but we don't overlook him here. He's one of our best players, and we lean on him.
Yeah, he had one of those great series there where he made all three plays on a three and out in the third quarter against them, and you had to say wow at the things that he can do. Now that group in total, okay, Justin Durant's missed some time this year with the hip and the groin, trying to get healthy, and he and Clint and Darryl, you know, from the looks of it, look to be a group that you can really build around.
Those guys as a group have speed, they have toughness, and they have the type of attitude that we need to have here to play good defense. They're relentless guys. They play hard to the football. They're not worried about making mistakes, and they just go. Ball go, I go, and that's their mentality. Again, with our defense, we're looking for consistency. Those guys are guys that should be consistent performers for us at a high level. They work towards that every day. I see that group as a as a as a collectively, they're on the rise.
Stay with us another segment. Talk about your safeties.
Whatever you need.
Great. That's Coach Mel Tucker, and he's joining us this evening in place of head coach Jack Del Rio. We'll return with more of the Jack Del Rio Show after this on Jaguars Radio.
To talk to Coach Del Rio, dial 355-NFL1 or 1-800-355-NFL1. Now, back to the show. Here's Brian Sexton.
Welcome back to the Jack Del Rio Show. We are joined by defensive coordinator Mel Tucker. Last week, Reggie Nelson was the GOAT based on the Titans game, missing some tackles. And sure looked like he stepped back into a situation and accepted the challenge and had a pretty good game against the Chiefs.
Reggie did a tremendous job against the Chiefs. I mean, he tackled well. He flew around, made plays. He made plays in the run game, made plays in the pass game. And Reggie showed a tremendous amount of character. You know, in this league, you know, there's going to be some ups and downs, but the true test is how you respond. Reggie had a great week of practice. He watched extra tape, and he, you know, he flew around. You could tell that it was just tremendously important to him. And then he went out there on Sunday and he performed at a high level, and you could just see the excitement on his face, and then and also from his teammates. You know, when he flew around and made those plays, you know, guys were jumping up and down. They're, you know, they just couldn't wait to get to him when he came to the sideline. And that's, you know, as a coach, that's rewarding. You know, when you see a guy, you know, you see a young guy, because Reggie is a young guy,
third year,
and you see him out there, and he has some adversity, but he comes back in a game and helps you win a game like that. Then you know that you have a guy that has a tremendous amount of pride. It's important to him, and you can build on that, and he can reflect on that experience and say, hey, no matter what happens, you know, I can apply myself. I can come back from whatever happens to me in football or in just in life in general and be successful.
How about Derek Cox? Yeah, he started since opening day, mm-hmm. 3 takeaways, a couple of interceptions. Your thoughts on how he's going?
He's coming along nicely. You know, Derek is a very, very confident player. He's a very level-headed player. He's aware, you know, he's smart, he studies the game, and like you said, he's been out there for us since day one. He's done a nice job. You know, early in the year, he has some ups and downs, but recently, these past couple of games, I think he's really started to settle down. He's got some experience. He's played against some great wide receivers, great really quarterbacks. Long. And I think he feels like he belongs out there, and he's only going to get better.
The coach and I talked weeks ago that the thing he needed to do, or the step he would take, would be to be more aggressive and trust his instincts a little bit more. Are you starting to see that?
I'm starting to see that. He's playing faster. He's playing faster. He's doing. He's seeing things, and then he's reacting, and he's not thinking as much. And I think that happens with experience.
Final thought, Coach Tyron Brackenridge, a guy that we've seen on special teams. Mm-hmm. You're smiling even as I mentioned his name. Great kid. Where does he fit into your defense over the second half of the season?
You know, T. Brack is a guy that has made plays in the preseason. He flies around on special teams. He has a role for us right now as a backup, but I'm not afraid to put him in the game. And when we call his number, he's going to play well.
All right, Coach, I know you got a meeting you got to get to. Thanks for your time.
Thank you.
Certainly appreciate it. And we'll come back with more of the Jack Del Rio Show after this on the WOKB Jaguars Football Network. Well, when you're looking for department store style at discount prices, look no further than your neighborhood Stein Mart. 7 Jacksonville locations. Stein Mart, once you go, you get it. Brian Sexton back with you here on the Jack Del Rio Show. The coach was with us for about 20 minutes. And then Mel Tucker stopped in, the Jaguars defensive coordinator, with some thoughts on the defense. Cleared it up for us. He's a 4-3 guy. Ran the 3-4 because Romeo Crennel, the coach of the Browns, when Coach Tucker was there, was a 3-4 guy. And, of course, they added Sean Rogers. And I mean, if you add Sean Rogers and you don't run a 4-3 or 3-4, pardon me, let me say that again. You add Sean Rogers and you don't run a 3-4, you're misusing his talent. I don't know whether you remember the Browns game here last year, but Rogers was unblockable. It's a monster. So Mel Tucker, 4-3, seemed to think that the Jaguars fit the 4-3 better. And that certainly appears to be the direction that they are headed. I'm not sure that's a surprise to anybody that the Jaguars could get back to the 4-3 and have success. Jeff Loggeman has been saying for a couple of weeks now he thought it was a move that was likely to happen. Vic said on Jaguars This Week in Jacksonville last week he thought it was something that just should happen, and of course it did. All right, stat geeks out there, and there are lots of us, aren't there? Jaguars ninth in offense this week. No surprise, they are sixth in rushing offense. The last two games, they have averaged 195 rushing yards per game, and the passing offense is 16th. And David Garrard threw with 110% quarterback efficiency. That's the rating from last week. So overall, Dirk Cutter's unit just continues to get better and better. The offense, I think, with those youngsters, and I can watch the Dillard catch over and over and over. Third down, 13, deep in their own territory, about to punt the ball into the wind again. And if you remember, same direction, two drives before, gave Castle and Kansas City the ball in outstanding field position for which they were able to score a field goal. So you're worried about that, and here comes Dillard with a beautiful catch over the middle. The defensive side, 23rd overall, 22nd against the run, 26th against the pass. And I think what's interesting to point out is that, you know, 2 weeks ago they gave up 305 yards, and you're talking, they look like the worst run defense in football, right? Breaking some tackles and Chris Johnson getting free. And now they're 22nd, and the difference between them and 14th, which is where the Jets and Rex Ryan's unit are, or Rex Ryan's unit is, 8 yards. That's it. Take a break. Come back. More of the Jack Del Rio Show after this. You're listening to Jaguars Radio. Jaguars fans, enter to win $50,000 towards the purchase of your new home with Prudential Network Realty's Take It to the House drawing. You know this. One winner is chosen for each home game, and that person and a guest receive tickets, a parking pass, and the chance to win $50,000. Log on to PrudentialNetworkRealty.com for all the details. Linda Shear's team over Prudential is extremely full service. Back to wrap things up with you here on the Jack Del Rio Show. Again, thanks to Mel Tucker for stopping by. First opportunity to sit and talk with him here on the program. Hope you enjoyed that. Seems like a guy who has a very strong grasp of where his team is and what they need to do. Pass rush will be key on Sunday, but this week it is all about stopping Thomas Jones. You got a rookie quarterback who's put up a bunch of interceptions. Braylon Edwards is a beast now. I mean, 6'3", 220 pounds, you know, the big receiver that everyone covets, makes plays all over the field. Don't know whether you saw him against the Dolphins when he caught that touchdown. Well, he caught the pass and made a touchdown of it, just bowled over two defenders to get in there. So they can do some things in the passing game, but when you look at their numbers, they are number two overall running the ball, and their passing attack is well behind that. So you stop the run, you win the game. At least it would seem to be that way. You got to do some things on the offensive side. And you know Rex Ryan's defense is going to be tricky. Now, I mean, they're not the same defense without Chris Jenkins anchoring the middle like he does in that 3-4 defense that Rex Ryan likes to run. But Jaguars have a great opportunity to go up against a 4-4 team. Started 3-0. Since have gone 1-4, but the Jaguars have a chance to go up there, maybe get to 5-4 and keep themselves on the list of teams that are involved, and that's all you can ask for this young team. That'll do it for our program. Thanks to Joe Fortunato, head coach Jack Del Rio, defensive coordinator Mel Tucker. Have a great night, everybody.
This has been the Jack Del Rio Show, brought to you by Prudential Network Realty, the Jacksonville Transportation Group, Wachovia, a Wells Fargo company, Ticket Exchange, and Community First Credit Union. Join us again next Tuesday night at 6 for your chance to talk to the head coach. The Jack Del Rio Show is a presentation of the WOKV Jacksonville Jaguars Radio Network.